Hey everyone, hey, this is Positive Light Podcast Episode 1. I'm glad you can join me today. My name is Bob Miles. What this is going to be about is going to be a positive influence into this negative world. I'm also hoping it's going to be a positive influence into your emotional needs. I just want to combat the negativeness that's in this world, and the best way I know how to do that is with a positive influence. And the influences in my life, number one influence in my life is Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I wouldn't be here today without him. And the other people that I listen to, Rick Warren, he's written The Purpose-Driven Life. He's also the lead pastor at Saddleback Church in Southern California. Bill Johnson, lead pastor at Bethel Church in Redding, California. John Maxwell, he's written numerous books, and he talks on leadership. He's a retired pastor. And Ed Silvoso, he has a ministry about transformation, transform your city to your county, to your state, and to your country, and he's done some really great work regarding that. My pastor at 1x1, Jack Shoemate, in Oregon City, Oregon, where I attend. Also, Darren Billings, pastor of Oasis. He has a great testimony. Also, a great ministry for the homeless in the Portland, Oregon area. A couple of mentors and friends of mine, Chuck Goldberg and Ross Hall. They've been big influences in my life and helped shape where I am today. So, what this podcast is going to be about, again, about positive influence. I'm also going to have some testimonies and stories that I'm going to have people on to tell. That's probably about once a month or maybe more than once a month. We'll see how that goes. But just to give you an update, I already got a testimony scheduled here in a couple weeks. You'll probably hear it in about 2 or 3 weeks. So what's today's subject going to be on? Well, today's subject is going to be on friendship. And I just think that friendship, befriending someone and getting friendship from someone is huge and important in our lives, and it can be a positive influence. So what is true friendship according to the Bible? Well, Rick Warren states, building deep friendships are very important, and there's 5 reasons to have deep friendships. The first one is spiritual growth. You must have friends in your life to accomplish God's purposes in your life. Romans 1:12 says, that is, that you and I may mutually be encouraged by each other's faith. Number 2, emotional support. Life is a journey, and you need companions. Rick says there's 2 types of people, VD people and VI people. The VD people are very dependable people, and the VI people are very inspirational people. I'll let you think about which ones you want as your friends. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Number 3, better health. Science has figured out you will live longer and healthier with healthy friends. People without close friends don't live as long as people with close friends. In James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Number 4, social enjoyment. Life is meant to be enjoyed. You need to have good friends for this. Friendship is the bedrock of a satisfying life. When you have an awesome friend, the joys in your life are doubled because you share them with your friends, and the sorrows are cut in half because of the Lord, because you share those with your friends also. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And number 5, reach your goals. You will never accomplish your goals by yourself. You need a team. Ecclesiastes states 4:9, 2 are better than 1. Because they have a good return for their labor. Ending with Matthew 7:12, so in everything to do others what you would have them do to you. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us the definition of a true friend. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. Out of John. Jesus is the pure example of a true friend, for he laid down his life for his friends. What is more, anyone may become his friend by trusting in him as his personal Savior, being born again and receiving new life in him. Proverbs is another good source of wisdom regarding friends. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The issue here is that in order to have a friend, one must be a friend. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And the principle of friendship is also found in Amos. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The truth has come from all of this is a friendship is a relationship that is entered into by individuals. And it is only as good or as closed as those individuals choose to make it. Someone has said that if you can count your true friends on the fingers of one hand, you are blessed. A friend is whom you can be yourself with and never fear that he or she will judge you. A friend is someone that you can confide in with complete trust. A friend is someone you respect and that respects you, not based upon worthiness, but based upon likeness of mind. Finally, the real definition of a true friend comes from the Apostle Paul. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, out of Romans. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends, out of John. Now, my friends, that's true friendship. What I'd like to do next is tell you a story about two boys that were freshmen and became friends. And I think the story will kind of tell you what friendship's all about. I don't know if it's a true story or if it's fictional, but just the meaning of the story is pretty special. I'd love to read it to you now. When I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid in my class was walking home from school. His name was Kyle. It looked like he was carrying all of his books. I thought to myself, why would anyone bring home all his books on a Friday? He really must be a nerd. I had quite the weekend planned, parties and football game with my friends tomorrow afternoon, so I shrugged my shoulders and I went on. As I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running toward him. They ran at him, knocking all his books out of his arms and tripping him so he landed in the dirt. His glasses went flying, and I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet from him. He looked up, and I saw a terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him, so I jogged over to him, and he crawled around looking for his glasses, and I saw a tear in his eye. As I handed him his glasses, I said, "Those guys are jerks. They really need to get lives." He looked up at me and said, "Hey, thanks." There was a big smile on his face. It was one of those smiles that showed real gratitude. I held him up, picked up his books, and asked him where he lived. As it turned out, he lived near me, so I asked him why I had never seen him before. He said he had gone to private school before now. I would have never hung out with a private school kid before. We talked all the way home and carried some of his books. He turned out to be a pretty cool kid. I asked him if he wanted to play a little football with my friends. He said yes. We hung out all weekend, and the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him, and my friends thought the same of him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with a huge stack of books again. I stopped him and said, "Boy, you're really going to build some muscles the pile of books every day." He just laughed and handed me half his books. Over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. When we were seniors, we began to think about college. Kyle decided Georgetown and I was going to Duke. I knew that we would always be friends, that the miles would never be a problem. he was going to be a doctor and I was going to be on business for a football scholarship. Kai was valedictorian of our class. I teased him all the time about being a nerd. He had to prepare a speech for graduation. I was so glad it wasn't me having to get up there and speak. Graduation day, I saw Kyle. He looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out and actually looked good in glasses. He had more dates than I, and all the girls really loved him. Boy, sometimes I was jealous. Today was one of those days. I can see that he was nervous about his speech, so I smacked him on his back and said, "Hey, big guy, you'll be great." He looked at me with one of those looks, the really grateful one, and smiled. "Thanks," he said. As he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began. He said, "Graduation is a time to thank those who have helped you make it through those tough years. Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. I'm here to tell you all of that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. I'm going to tell you a story." I just looked at my friend with disbelief as he told me the first day we met. He had planned to kill himself over the weekend. He talked of how he had cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later and was carrying all his stuff home. He looked hard at me and gave me a little smile. And he said, "Thankfully, I was saved." My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. I heard the gasp go through the crowd as the handsome, popular boy told us all about his weakest moment. I saw his mom and dad looking at me and smiling, that same grateful smile. Not until that moment did I realize its depth. Never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life, for better or for worse. God puts us all in each other's lives to impact one another in some way. Look for God in others. Friends are angels who lift us up on our feet when our wings have trouble remembering how to fly. There's no beginning or an end. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. Great story. What did that friendship do to both of them and how it changed their lives? I mean, I believe both of them were greatly impacted by their friendship. The valedictorian had his life saved, but the athletic guy had a friend for life. And it's just amazing how those two came together. So have you ever wondered what the real essence of saying a friend in need is a friend indeed is? People talk about the true value of friendship actually without knowing what it stands for. True friendship is the one in which the individuals do not have to maintain formalities with each other. Sharing true friendship is a situation when the person you are talking about is counted as one among your family members. When the relation you share with him or her reaches a stage that even if you don't correspond for some time, your friendship remains unscathed. Best friends need not meet up often to make sure that the friendship remains constant. The trust between best friends is such that if one friend falls into trouble, the other will not think twice to help. If the bond between two friends is strong, true friends can endure even long distances. For them, geographical separation is just a part of life. It would not affect their friendship. They make it a point to stay in touch, even if on the verge of being exhausted due to the drudgery of everyday life. True friendship never fades away. In fact, it grows better with time. True friendship thrives on trust, inspiration, and comfort. Best friends come to know when the other person is in trouble merely by listening to their hello over the phone. They can even understand each other's silence. True friends don't desert each other when one of them is facing trouble. They would face it together and support each other, even if it's against the interest of the other person. Best friends don't analyze each other. They don't have to do so. They accept each other with their positive and negative qualities. Nothing is hidden between true friends. They know each other's strengths as well as weaknesses. One would not overpower the other. They would respect each other's individuality. In fact, they would understand the similarities and respect the differences. Best friends don't stand any outsider commenting on criticizing their friendships, and they can put up a very firm resistance if anyone does so. True friends are not opportunist. They don't help because they have something to gain out of it. True friendship is marked by selflessness. Best friends support each other, even if the whole world opposes them. It is not easy getting true friends for a lifetime. If you have even one true friend, consider yourself blessed. Remember, all best friends are friends, but not all friends can be best friends. In this world of cynics and backstabbers, there are still some people who are worth being friends with. They have to be recognized and respected for being best friends for the lifetime. So what I want to do next is I'd like to pay you one of my favorite songs. It's called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What I want you to do, though, is when this song plays, listen to the words, let the words speak to you. Again, what do we have a friend in Jesus? And here's the song, and we'll talk more about it afterwards.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield you. We'll find a solace there. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Everything to God in prayer. Everything to God in prayer.
Hey, I love that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So that song was actually written by Joseph Scriven. A lot of people think it's an old American hymn, but actually Joseph Scriven was born in Ireland. And I'd like to give you the rest of the story. Kind of hats off to Paul Harvey there. Joseph Scriven, again, was born in Ireland. He went to university there, and he fell in love, was about ready to be married. And the day before that he was supposed to be married, his fiancée drowned in the local river. And what Joseph said to get through that time of losing his fiancée, he relied on his best friend Jesus. So with doing that, Joseph decided to give his life to his faith and to Jesus, and also decided to move to Canada. And he moved to outside of Canada to a place called Port Hope. What a neat place. I have to visit that sometime. And I know the story goes along that when he was in Port Hope, two businessmen stood at the corner of Port Hope outside of Ontario, street corner, and a little man carrying a saw walked by. One of the businessmen said, "Hey, now there is a man who is happy with his life. I wish I could know his joy. Perhaps I can get him to cut my wood." And the man next to him said, "No, I know that man. That's Joseph Scriven. He would not cut your firewood. He cuts wood only for the people who can't pay for it and for those who can't cut their own firewood." So Joseph, while he was at Port Hope, also fell in love again and was engaged to be married. And weeks before their wedding day, his fiancée came down with pneumonia. And he tried to nurse her back to health, but no avail. She passed away. And again, he stated, "Hey, I'm going to rely on my best friend Jesus to get me through this." Also, later on, his mother in Ireland fell ill, and he didn't have the money or the funds to go back and see her, so he wrote her a poem. And the poem he wrote was, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And again, it says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." What a great poem, huh? Turned into a great song. They say a friend is medicine to the brokenhearted and to the wounded soul. And here are some quotes on what friendship has done for actual people. "I grew up in a family that didn't show affection. I knew it was loved, but it was rarely expressed, either in words or with a hug. Then at age 40, I met Judy. I quickly noticed how often she told her kids she loved them, and how she hugged everyone hello and goodbye. As with any habit, I picked it up. And the more I did so, the easier it became for me. Now I never fail to hug friends or family members, and it has completely changed how I relate to them. It's an awesome feeling. My fiancé walked out on me 3 days before our wedding day. Now every year on the anniversary of that day, I would have been married. My best friend texts me a hilarious and completely inappropriate picture, reminding me I dodged a bullet. His humor makes it hard day better. After my wife of 44 years died, I didn't feel the urge to socialize, but that didn't stop my friend Tony from inviting me to join a group of guys who got together every Thursday night for dinner. I told him I wasn't ready. He called again the next week, and again, and I said no. He kept calling every week. And finally I said, okay, I'll go. Anything to keep you from calling me every week. It has been now 6 years since my wife has died. And thanks to Tony, I've been going to dinner every week with the gang we've dubbed Romeo, retired old men eating out. When I was 4, my mother had her hands full with 6 children. Luckily, there was our neighbor, Verla. Verla, 48, had no children, so I had her full attention. She taught me simple things like how to care for my teeth, as well as the big things, like a love of long walks. She also taught me to play cribbage, which came with these words of advice. There's a perfect strategy for every hand dealt. That concept has impacted me every aspect of my life. I'd like to talk about a subject that just happened here not long ago. Like to talk about what happened to Kobe Bryant, not to dismiss any of the other lives that were lost in that horrific helicopter accident that took Kobe's life and 8 other persons, including his daughter. So what I like to say is Kobe Bryant, I got to see him kind of grow up in front of me. He came into the NBA about 18 to 19 years old, had 20-year career with the Los Angeles Lakers, Hall of Famer, 5 NBA championships. Actually, he'll be a future Hall of Famer, not quite yet there. And there was times where I really disliked him because he, on the court, he beat my Portland Trailblazers. But I knew that he was going to be a legend. Again, I knew that he was going to be a Hall of Famer. And that's kind of what I knew. Saw some of his faults, some of his good stuff, all in front of us on TV. But then after he passed, I got to see what a man, friend, and father he was. In fact, Kobe in an interview stated he doesn't have friends. Then he said, after reconsidering, that he doesn't have close friends. But after hearing what people are saying about him, I disagree. He touched so many lives, mentored friends, reached out to so many. In fact, his daughters even said, yes, he was our dad, he was our father, but he was also our friend. Damon Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers stated that every time he reached out to Kobe, Kobe always got back to him. Trevor Ariza, also on the Trailblazers now, who played with him, said he was my mentor. So many people were touched by his lives and how he reached out and touched him and was friends to them. He also put his name on women's basketball that needed it. A lot of people say he did that because of his phenom. 13-year-old daughter that passed away from Gigi was just a phenom basketball player. But he also enjoyed basketball. He reached out to the University of Oregon women's basketball team, befriended them, especially Sabrina Ionescu. All I know is if people say what they're saying about Kobe Bryant after his passing, and they say that about me after my passing, I feel like I'll be a blessed man. One of the things I also did was I prayed about friendship. I said to God, I said, what do you think about friendship, God? And his answer to me was this. He says, I sent my son down to die for friendship. Friendship between you and me is very important. Take our friendship, which is love, and what I am, share it with other people, and you will be sharing my love with your friends, which is what I have commanded you to do. So do have some challenges for you this week. Challenges are going to be befriend someone you don't know. Let someone befriend you that you don't know. Thank the friend that you do have or friends. But first, make sure you spend time with your best friend, Jesus. And if you don't know him, I highly suggest to get to know him. Also, if you have a spouse or significant other, take time and work on that friendship. Make sure you develop to where it needs to be. All friendships need to be developed and worked on, even the one with Jesus. And my prayer for you this week is that God blesses the journey you're on with him, that he gives you strength and love, and he develops a good friendship with you. Hey, you guys can connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Positive Light. You can also email me at positivelightpodcast@gmail.com. Hats off to Mark and Chris from the Medical Stuff Podcast. They're the ones that helped me out and get this thing rolling. Wonderful guys. And next week's episode is going to be on forgiveness. Here's something to think about. The most influential person in your life is the one you haven't forgiven. Hey, again, thanks for tuning in, guys. Have a great week. We'll be with you next week.